Welcome to Here We Stand. This is the voice of the Republic of Kanata. I'm your regular host, Kevin Ann at Eagle Strong Voice. It's February 14th, and that, of course, was one of our favorite songs, the Mountain, the Ballad of the Green Mountain Boys. The Green Mountain Boys, of course, from Vermont, which in French means Green Mountain, Vermont. And they were in the leadership of the American Revolution long before the first shots were ever fired. They fought for their lands and their rights against the biggest empire in the world, and they won. And that's an inspiration to us today, always. We owe no allegiance, we bow to no throne. Our ruler is law, and the law is our own. And that sums up the movement that is really sweeping the globe to reestablish sovereignty and self-governance under true republics by and for the people. And it's an international movement, and today I'm really honored and happy to have one of my good friends, Eva Ponty from Paris. Eva has been involved in what's called the CNT, the Conseil National de Transition, which means the National Council of Transition in France. She's a yoga instructor. She's on the line with us from Paris, and she's going to be talking about, among other things, this new movement in France, which, like here in Canada, and in America and England and around the world, people are moving to fight the COVID police state by reestablishing their own new self-governance. We're going to get to Eva in just a minute. But before that, announcements for people listening in, especially citizens of the Republic, to remind you, the discussion on our new national constitution, which will be adopted in convention this year, is ongoing. And if you'd like to be part of that, write to Republic National Council at protonmail.com. We'll send you a copy of the draft constitution. We are welcoming your amendments. If you live in any of the following areas, you can join up with the local assembly anywhere on Vancouver Island, the Sunshine Coast, Greater Vancouver, the South Kootenays in British Columbia, Southern Alberta, Winnipeg, Sault Ste. Marie, Toronto, Niagara Peninsula, Brighton and Ajax, Ottawa, all of that on Ontario, and Montreal, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia. Anyone in those areas, please write to the National Council of the Republic, and we will connect you up with those assemblies. But also, there are individuals active in forming cell groups for the Republic in 109 communities across Canada. So again, write to us and see our website, republicofkanata.ca. That's K-A-N-A-T-A. It means our village, republicofkanata.ca. Now, let me bring Eva on, and just before I bring her, I couldn't resist listening to that song, remembering a good quote from one of the leaders of the American Revolution, Thomas Paine. He said, "The first duty of a patriot is to defend his country from its government," and I think it's especially relevant today. So let me bring on Eva Ponty. Bonjour, Eva. Bienvenue.
Thank you. Bonsoir. Bonjour. Hello. Very happy to be with you. Thank you. Yes, it is.
I know it's midnight in Paris, and so I especially am thankful that you're staying up to be with us. And
yes, I'm very happy to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, why don't you give the folks listening a bit of a background, who you are, and really how you got to know me and our tribunal in Europe, and from there, the CNT, and exactly what that whole thing is all about.
Yes, because it's quite a virtuous circle of events, I find, on my path at least. Having been raised in California, in Los Angeles, and being of French origin, I came back to France when I was 21. Actually, I left the UCLA campus. I left LA right when the Iraq War was starting to be fomented very vehemently in the media, much like a video game. I'm sure many people will remember that in 93. And I decided to come back to France. And I've been here for about 30 years now. I'm 51. And so I've pretty much have half both cultures, and it gives me an interesting insight into what's going on in North America, what's the parallels here.
Right.
So we can talk about that, yes. Mm-hmm. And just to point out that the CNTF is a citizen organization I've met several times and that now I've adhered to. And of course, I'm speaking on my behalf this evening because nobody really, I don't represent that movement, but I definitely see the link between CNTF, which I'm a member of, and your organization and the International Tribune of Church Crimes of Church and State. But so we can speak of that link, which I think is very important.
Yeah, how did you find, I'm trying to remember, because I know we've been talking and we've met, of course, in Paris.
Yes, we have.
You know, it's really great. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, it was in 2017, I saw your documentary, Unrepentant. I was so shooken, so disturbed. And not that I had just discovered these crimes. I had heard of them for many years because I myself was a member of an organization called the International Rayon Movement. I was a translator for many of their conferences. And they had created an organization 25 years ago called No Pedo, which was no pedophilia. And it was a hotline for victims of church or organizations of pedophilia. So that made them a target of many, that was a very, criticized action, of course, in France and many other countries. It actually started in Canada. So there are many parallels that I saw your documentary. I contacted you and I was actually very honored and also very surprised to know that there weren't thousands of people concerned, you know, but I do know, having followed many philosophical movements and thus, it's not necessarily the majority yet, I would say. People are not concerned about also the light and the dark side of human nature enough to maybe see some issues, because I see a lot of people turning away from truths, which are very sad, of course, but which we have to look into to get past them, just like all this racism, just right. What are we? Well, that's what we're doing together. I and that was a very beautiful encounter when we met several times in France, because France was going through a huge transformation at that time, and we can speak about that too. Yes.
Why don't we talk a little bit about that? Tell us what it's like now living in Paris. Are there curfews? What's the whole climate? How are people feeling about this whole lockdown?
Well, so being in Paris is like being in the laboratory of experimentation of what France will accept in other areas, because France is very centralized around Paris and its laws and decrees. So it's not at all like Switzerland or other countries which have independent cantons which vote differently. Here, we're very, very, very subject to the decrees which have been right and left, totally incoherent. I would say that basically since 2015 with the Bataclan event, which I actually witnessed people coming out of that building where several hundred people were killed. I don't know if people are aware of that, but it was an event which then triggered retaliation in countries where France was involved in war, namely, I'm trying to remember the historical context of 2017, but either it was Libya or it was a constant state of emergency in Paris after that. So laws, just like after 9/11 in the States, laws were passed that made France in a state of emergency. Therefore, exceptional laws were to be passed. Of course, freedoms were a bit more restricted. We couldn't congregate. We actually had the COP21, which was going to be in Paris at that time. And since Bataclan happened 2 weeks before, the whole country, of course, was in grievance. It was a huge event. And we basically were bombarded with tear gas because we demonstrated peacefully For the environment. There were different NGOs there, different groups on the Place de la République. So it was a very, already the atmosphere was there. It was state of emergency. Now we're in a state of sanitary emergency. Okay. And it's become worse even because now we have to have curfew, of course, since 6 o'clock, since PM, everybody's been home, and this has been in place for the past month. Before that, we've been basically since March 2020, in restrictions of our freedom to breathe. For a yogi, I can tell you that that is, to me, one of the most serious attacks on our human dignity and liberty.
How are people responding? Now, I know let's talk about the CNTF now and how it arose and what it represents.
Yes. So I met them through different leaflets that they were handing out, which stated that this Conseil National de Transition France is a legal institution which has allowed us as French citizens who feel that we are not being represented by our leaders. And this was acted after they had adopted the European Constitutional Treaty, which was reenacted through another name, the Lisbon Treaty or the Treaty of Rome, which the French people voted against. 55% were against the treaty, which was enforced on them, much like Greece was forced to enter into certain treaties to be able to continue in the Eurozone. So it's been very hard economically. Basically, all commerce has been completely stopped except for what they call basic needs, which is big supermarkets, of course. Restaurants are closed. They cannot greet people. After they had done months of investments, restaurants, boutiques, of plexiglass, of social distancing, of so many measures that they were forced to take, I don't even know if they were given help, financial help for all this. It was from March 20th, when they announced the closing of the borders and this what I call a psychosis, big pharmaceutical psychosis. I'm sorry to say that's how I feel seeing this. Our freedoms have been shred, you know, laws, decrees. Yep. Making everything illegal. Basically, they're almost telling us how we can live inside our homes. Basically, it's preposterous what we hear on TV. But yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to imagine Paris not having sidewalk cafes. And I mean, it's such a beautiful city and it all revolves around its street culture. And it's just, aren't people revolting? Have there been, I have seen accounts of people defying the curfew and having protests. What's the response of authorities when that happens?
So there are demonstrations, and I know because I live in an area where a lot of them occur. It's weekly. Now, of course, one must understand the climate in France, as in many other countries, in 2019, 2020, even after, from 2017, I can tell you that there were demonstrations that were huge, social reforms, elderly pensions, etc. Very, very dire situations for many people in France. There was a lot of rebellion, a lot of revolt, a lot of dissatisfaction. So it has not been getting better. And this, it seems so convenient, just like, you know, we know also that there are many convenient occasions that trigger our attention onto things which are much less essential. For me, they are being diverted right now by social masking and not allowing us to see our families. We have to give, basically, we have to write ourselves derogation to be able to go into the after curfew hours, but even before we had to, we don't even know anymore what is the legal dot. We're confused. We're in what people call a state of sidération, which is like being stunned, you see?
Right. Yep.
And on a social level, I can see it because I'm very surprised that there is not a, how would I say, a solidarity among people more than what I see. For example, I see everybody wearing masks, even outside. And I can tell you, I wake up early as a yogi, sometimes 5:30, 6 o'clock. I look outside, it's dark. I see somebody walking with his mask alone in the street. So there is such, yes, it's funny and sad at the same time, because it shows you the level of submission of to authority, which, you know, historically France, unfortunately, has that Achilles heel or that weak backbone. So this CNTF is a strong backbone because it's a legal institution which was declared the UN, and you can look at their website. It's I've given you the link, and I hope we can share it, because it definitely is exactly the parallel of the organization to free Canada and Kanata of foreign laws, of foreign intervention, of not listening to the people's votes. So the CNTF is the legal document that protects us in a transition period, which could last 3 years, for this new form of government based on a new constitution, or what the people choose to continue as a free France, just like we had to do at the end of the World War II. I believe we have been in a World War III that has not been declared for many years.
Right. Well, tell us a little bit about Stan Mayo and what Neopol is, you know, as an alternative police force.
Yes, very interesting case, because the link with the international, the ITCCS, is that Stan Mayo, who used to work for the gendarmerie, who is still considered a gendarme, which is a police officer who is member of the military forces in France, the armed forces, he was assigned to pedophilia and the networks. So he was at the core of the crimes happening, and he, when he would transfer apparently these findings that he made, he saw that these cases were being closed, as we see in many others that you've mentioned. So he was, he reported this to his superiors. They told him to close his mouth, basically. And so he did not. And he was in prison, I believe, for I don't know how much time, and came out, and then decided to create a new order of police force in link with the CNTF, because he really represents this new, I would say, armed force, which is necessary for the people. We are not here to neither hurt each other, kill each other. I will never take a gun against another human being. I believe that I am sovereign, yes, and that I am also here as a peace warrior. Other people have been trained, armed forces, let them be on the side of basically the constitution, the republic. And he, as a leader of this gendarmerie, he's a very, you can see, a very straight person. And he believes in these values, and he believes that these armed forces, instead of serving what he calls these dark people who cover up crimes which are preposterous, come on, let's wake up here. Smell the coffee, you know?
Right. Is he still in jail? Did Stan Meyer get out of jail?
No, he's not. No, he is not. He is out of jail, and he has created this Neopal movement. He is careful, of course, I'm sure, of his actions, because even when he was working as a gendarme, he had a very dangerous mission. And so since he was uncovering these pedophilia crimes, which, you know, maybe a lot of them came from trafficked around Paris and France, you know. So yeah, unfortunately, Paris is also une plaque tournante, as they say in French, a turning center of a lot of crimes.
Well, we found that,
but a lot of beauty, too, thank goodness,
you know,
thanks to
the connections
people
with Rome and the different royal families and the whole child trafficking. Paris is a big
yes
part of that, historically.
Yes. Yeah. And what gives me hope, because that's what this show, I hope, and I'm meeting you, is about, too. Of course it is. For me, it is. It's that people are sovereign, and they believe that, and the armed forces do too. And I've always meditated as a yogi and a believer in peace that we also have to accept our dark forces in each human being. And if there's war in the world, it's because there's war in us. What are we doing? What are we accepting? And against other human beings. And your story of unrepentant and the indigenous peoples and how we strip them first of their cultures, of their dignities, of everything. It's such a parallel with what I see in totalitarian ways of approaching government, of approaching corruption has unfortunately been rampant, and people, young people in France, a sovereign people who believe in the constitutional rights and human rights, believe that there can be another way, and that the old system is basically decrepit, and that we have to just have the courage to accept that. And I have the courage to be behind you, because I feel you're a very courageous person too.
Well, it has to be done. And you know, I do in the second part of the show, which will be in a few minutes, I want to talk a bit about that, your own spiritual calling and the inner transformation, you know, that's necessary for the outer in the world. And, you know, we talk about that a lot on the show. And so I'd like your thoughts on that.
I'd love to read a quote then to you, because this
really
sums up. This is a quote from Swami Vishnu Devananda, who started, who didn't start, but who was the disciple of Vishnu Shivananda, who started many yoga centers and ashrams around the world. And I discovered his ashram, his yoga center in Los Angeles when I was 15. My mother used to do yoga. It was, you know, it was the 70s, Indian influence, and their very beautiful open influence came to the US in the 50s. And I was very much open to that because, you know, Los Angeles had the beauty of the beach, of nature. So yoga was very rampant in the sense that it was non secular. It was not religious. It was working on the body to attain freedom in the mind. And that became a very important issue to work on, because after the 70s, which were beautiful eras of flower power and freedom, and it became corrupted, I discovered in studying history, because history was my major, you know, through drugs and trying to corrupt young people who just wanted to go more towards spirituality, which is what a lot of these Indian gurus brought. Scandals, etc. I'm not saying anybody is above the law. I don't think anybody is. And I don't think these spiritual people are more to suspect than any human being on this planet. We are all responsible for our own beings. We are all sovereign. So the power we give to another has to be voluntary, in the sense that I accept to have somebody teach me something, but that does not mean that person possesses my body, mind, and state. I am responsible for that. So that's something that I believe true faiths teach. And here's a quote from this Swami, which is, health is true wealth. Peace of mind is true happiness. Yoga shows us the path. So that to me was the path that I discovered at the age of 15 and have been now honored to teach this practice, Hatha Yoga, for the past 8 years in Paris. And I started my practice in Switzerland as a trainer. So I've seen many people, many states of health and well-being, but also illness, you know, because the body does not lie. Working on our bodies is a way of being humble and accepting where we are, accepting our link to what is natural, being upright, having Advaita, our many values that are very beautiful. Basically, it's a beautiful science. It's a fascinating science. And I feel that I'm, in a sense, as a yogi, an explorer. And when you explore, you don't explore on others first. You explore on yourself. That's why I believe it's a beautiful science. Yes.
I do want to get into that more. One question before we move into that realm more is, we were talking about CNTF, and people have been asking when I mentioned some of what you'd be talking about. They're very curious about, you mentioned to me in our discussion how the doctors in France are forming their own medical colleges, and people are thinking now in terms of alternative institutions. Could you talk a little bit about how CNTF is and Neopolymet are connected to that development?
So they are not directly connected. So let me explain first how CNTF will operate, in the sense that they are a reference for this new transition of France. But this will only be possible if people are aware of this Conseil National, of this institution, as a right, as a legal right. Because right now, as many other organizations like whistleblowers, as they're called, but basically truth alerters, they're being censored. So CNTF has a lot of bad press, of course, even though they're trying to give it the least press possible so that it doesn't become too well known. You see what I mean? So it's a institution that will be put in place through citizens, which means with their own talents, with their own intelligence and brilliance, which, and as peaceful beings, they really insist on that, that we are not here to bring about civil war, which would be the last thing that we would want. What we do want is that the government step aside and understand, once the majority asks them to, that they have not complied to what we feel France, as a lay country and as a country of freedom, represents. And these are the values that it does represent. So they have many categories. There is a poll of scientists who will want to work around issues of health, of natural environment, of psychology, etc. There are many different fields that people will naturally want to adhere to through their talents and their time. And it's very volunteer basis right now. I'm a volunteer. I do not represent, I do not work for them. I'm not paid in any way. So it's a very, right now, it's a very independent measure. And the people who I do speak to about the CNTF are first unaware, I would say the majority, totally unaware that it exists. They're afraid. They're afraid because knowing your rights in France is almost, I would say, reserved to the, what I would call, elites, the elites, in a sense, because people don't know their rights here, which I feel is a real something that should be much more educated in schools and in life in general. And there's a lot of fear of what they will, there's a lot of fear because people are suffering right now. And I have a lot of compassion for what's happening. But I also know as a yoga instructor that we find strength within and through our courage and through our breath. And right now, by asking us to mask our faces, we are not breathing correctly. That should alarm people. But it will. There are people like Reaction 19, which is a citizen movement too, backed by a lawyer who has filed a class action against the government for their management of this crisis. And basically, there are sanitary conditions in hospitals that are close to torture that has been reported, because people who are very sick are being masked, forced to wear their mask. One woman even testifies to her father having been strapped to his bed, naked. I mean, the conditions are starting to be very, very worrisome when you hear about this. People are being vaccinated in elderly homes. They are the first ones to be vaccinated. There are doctors, very valorous doctors like Dr. Raoult and Dr. Perron and many others who have been joining movements around Europe, but who, as doctors in many areas, have been very alarmed at what has been asked of them. Basically, they feel that they have been asked to report almost every death since March 2020 as COVID deaths, even though it has very little relation, even though these people have 3-4 comorbid factors that account for their... The period of great confusion that's voluntary. But people are much smarter than that.
Eva, I'm just looking at our notes from our talk earlier, and you said that CNTF is trying to set up their own courts.
They have, yes.
Yeah.
They have.
Can you talk about that?
So this is why the message right now is being rallied towards the members of the public forces and police forces and military forces, because they are very conscious that having tribunals, and that's where I'd like to link this with you, if you could clarify this with us in France too, is that if you have tribunals, you need people to guard them in a sense. Yeah. And if you have to arrest people who are high officials who they have warrants of arrest. You know, the CNTF and Neopol have issued warrants of arrest, just as the ITCCS has, against the actual president, prime minister, and so forth. So they have a very precise agenda, and it does include imprisonment and tribunal. So this requires a peace process. I envision this and visualize this, I hope, as like the Nelson Mandela courts, where it was the reconciliation, where we had to say, let's stop, let's recognize, and let's go forward.
Right, like a peaceful revolution, ideally.
Yes.
The interesting difference is that in Canada, we've never had a republic, and so we elect our own common law republic sheriffs while appealing to the police to help us. Whereas it sounds like in France, you're asking the police directly to enforce these arrest orders against the president and the others who are acting not in the public interest.
That is what the Neopol has issued publicly, and you can see that on their website as well as conseilnational.fr. They have, it's in French. I'll see if it will be in English as well. I will see to that. And basically, they have issued warrants of arrest, and these, I am sure, are going to have to be done with the armed forces, because this is how the Constitution has been written, that this is what will happen if the people choose to have a new government, that this, the armed forces will protect them, because that is their mission statement. And Stan Mayo, who is the Neopol founder, that is what he has made very clear to all the armed forces. He issues very clear statements to them saying that once they do join this new police force, that they will very quickly be the new police, and because he believes that the corrupt police will be part of the past, in a sense, you see?
It's fascinating, you know, because it's the system, this COVID police state and the big farm interests behind it, they've created a civil war. And
yep.
To recognize that we have the majority of people on our side, it can be peaceful if we simply act as a group, as a whole, you know?
Yes, and that's where it's very complex, and that's where it's very intelligently done, because since human nature is so complex, and since I've studied anatomy, I've studied health for many years because it's my main interest, not illness in a sense, because that's what I feel, unfortunately, we are now really based on is in whereas remedies in nature, I know, of course, we can't all be nature freaks and we can't all be saying that science and medicine, we should go back to the Stone Ages. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that yoga will solve all our problems either. What I am saying is that we chose a path of science and medicine, and we always do through history. I've always seen cycles, and we've maybe chosen a path in the past 40 years since basically petrol has been our main source of energy. And I found that basically the drug industry and the tablets and the, you know, the capsules that encapsulated the drugs was parallel to this industry, because, you know, petrol had to be put everywhere. So we even put it in our tablets and I think we're experimenting too much on human beings. For personal testimony, having seen my grandmother and all the medicine that she was prescribed, I don't even know how people are still alive on all that medicine. It's incredible. And so it made me want to turn towards just what is health, basically. What is true health? And I believe health is true wealth. Health, what is it? It's taking away the layers and layers of, I would say, bad habits, in a sense. And these can be in many areas. They can be in our eating habits. You know, many people think, if you think, what is the number one? Every 20 seconds, apparently, in the world, somebody dies of what? The number one major agent of disease on the planet is sugar. Sugar, sugar. So we know, too, that the food industries, the drug industries, pharmaceutical industries, you know, of course they had to collude. They had, at one point, they had very virtuous people. I know, because I did my education in the States. I saw people who were becoming doctors. I also saw those who were doing it because it was the stud thing to do. And it was, you know, so everybody has to be coherent with their life mission. And I believe that doctors today in France, there are very beautiful, very serving doctors who have been doing their job, who have been fighting on this front line of this crisis that has been very intelligently done, because they know that 70% of people are hypochondriac naturally, meaning that if you show somebody, it's playing on the nocebo effect, which is the contrary of the placebo effect, which is the positive aspect of positive reinformation and positive reinforcing of things that you tell yourself on a deep level, on an exterior level. And using the nocebo effect is playing on people's mimical effect of others. And they're playing on this tremendously, because by telling us night and day since March 20th, talking nothing but of COVID and its deaths and its dangers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, making us feel guilty, treating us like children that are misbehaved because we hugged our grandmothers, et cetera, et cetera, for me is not only grotesque, it's activating the nocebo effect, because people are afraid of each other now. And I feel that that can be changed. That can be changed. I feel that we can get past that.
We have to. And, you know, a lot of the work we do, too, I can tell you, Eva, that it's on the ground. It's grassroots. It's, for example, the other day a bunch of us went out. We set up our table in the park. We met people. We were standing around.
That's right.
People look relieved when they walk by because you were just acting normal. We were just interacting. And people are so hungry for that these days.
Oh, yes. And I see that. That's the beauty of it, is that so many people now are speaking of the solutions of what they are actually taking their place in the light and saying, okay, we've been resting so much on authority and submitting to authority and not being in agreement, but constantly bickering about it and complaining. So what are we actually bringing as solutions? Because do we want to be the generation? I'm 51. I mean, what am I going to wait for, you know, to pass the torch to the next generation and say, okay, you manage? No. Take our actions now, and that means do it with my understanding, helping others, and that's what people are doing. They're connecting, which is why also whatever measures people try to put against people collaborating, people, they will never succeed. I believe light will always shine. Always.
Yes.
Hopefully.
As long as we embody it and act it out, you know, we got to let our gun put it under a bushel. Jesus once said, you don't put your light under a bushel. You let it shine on a hill for everyone to see, you know?
That's what I feel you're doing. That's what I feel I'm doing by speaking out as well in my name and supporting organizations who have been structured enough, intelligent enough, peaceful enough to do this in a way that is not violent, because I do not believe in people doing their own revenge on others. I do not believe in that. I believe that, as the indigenous people have always taught us, and I believe they are the best example of we want truth. We want things to be said. We want things to be stopped immediately, because you are constantly slandering our generations. We want our cultures recognized, but we do not want to become like the white person who has tortured us. And they're right. We do not want to go down to the level of being like these people, because we will become vicious if we go down to their level.
That's right. You know, and
just
the best
like
way to do
the
it
slave
is not
owners.
Even,
yes.
Yeah. Not. We don't even make a demand anymore. We just embody it. We just create it ourselves and not demand anything from anyone. We are the source
and
of that change.
And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Yes. And you as a reference, because, you know, for young generations who are seeing, wow, you did your work. You did that. You created the tribunal. You created this so that it makes it easy for the next generation. We have to think long term. And I find that that's beautiful. If I can be a part of that, I'm very happy, because I feel I want to be a contribution, you know. As everybody does, you know, as everybody does. But that's the thing that's interesting, is that I meet people who think diametrically opposed to me, and yet we still find common ground. Because even though, as a lot of scientists believe, that we, as Dr. Friston said, we sample the world to ensure our predictions become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, the question is, what is our self-fulfilling prophecy? What do we believe in? And it's interesting. That's where I feel we make peace with ourselves, is ask those questions to oneself.
Eva, we've got about 5 minutes left before I have to just end with some announcements and that. And
of course, I wanted
to ask you, do you have any websites or contact information or anything you'd like to share or draw people's attention to in the last 5 minutes?
Yes, I do. So will they have that written, or should I say it out loud?
You could say it out loud, and
okay.
We'll also post it. Yep.
Yes. So the most important one, I would say, is really the official website, which is https, /conseilnational.fr, which is spelled C-O-N-S-E-I-L-N-A-T-I onal.fr. That is their official website. It is in French. So what I will do if people do not speak French is you and I can then speak of that, and I can transfer documents, because it's important to go to the sources. The sources are there. The Neopol you will find on that website as well. There are other organizations that I can point out, which is bonsens.org, which is collecting information on a lot of misinformation that we've been getting, and they've been keeping statistics of notably how people are hyping up the number of deaths. That's one point about vaccinations. There's many organizations working right now to protect freedom. As I said before too, there's Reaction 19, Reaction 19. You can write that in full letters, Reaction, just like in English, 19, all attached. That, of course, is a French class action suit, but they actually are doing it in link with all the European cities. So these actions collectively, you through your organization, the CNTF, all these sovereign, I heard that there's a tribunal also in Spain, I believe. There are different people joining forces. So let's make that, let's open those doors,
All the seeds we planted over the years are sprouting now and growing in a beautiful canopy all over the planet. And, it's one of the good things about enduring and not giving up is you can see the results of your labor. That's what we say. We got to, no matter what you do, just keep at it, right? That's the whole thing.
That's what I think is justice. Yeah. That's real justice. Yes, exactly.
Right. Now, Eva, I do want you back in the future to talk more, because we didn't, unfortunately, in an hour, we don't have a lot of time to get into different aspects, but very much like to have you back.
And I will with pleasure come back. Yes, thank you. I hope it was clear for your listeners, who I thank very much for being part of your support too. And thank you very much, Kevin. And thank you.
Thank you, Eva. And we'll be sure that the show gets out to our listeners in Quebec as well, and we'll share your French material in French with our French speaking brothers and sisters here in Canada.
Yes, with pleasure. With pleasure.
Okay.
Okay, and hoping to see you one day soon after all this, and we'll speak before, of course. Right. Goodbye. Bye, everyone.
We'll have a glass of wine outside, right in Paris somewhere.
Avec plaisir, mon frère. Avec plaisir. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay.
Au revoir.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Is, vive la France libre and free Canada. Bye.
Thank you, Eva. That was Eva Ponty from Paris, a good friend and a fellow heart warrior. And a final announcement I forgot to mention in the early part was to citizens and others wanting to get involved in this freedom campaign, you don't necessarily have to take out citizenship, although we advise that, because then you're on the same ground as everybody else. You can help establish the new republic on the ground. Vote on the new constitution, be delegates, become sheriffs, the whole bit. Write to Republic National Council at protonmail.com. And don't forget, as well as the constitutional discussion, we are planning two important national campaigns to unite all of our different cell groups and assemblies. The first is reclaiming federal taxes. We keep the federal tax money in our communities and Republic Trust funds, defund the genocidal state that way. And secondly, we enforce our standing laws abolishing COVID measures. And we enforce those laws actively with Republic sheriffs. Those two foci of our different campaigns are very important. So, again, contact us and also study the material at republicofcanada.ca. Now, we're going to end with a very wonderful song. It's one of the best, most beautiful poems ever written in America by Langston Hughes, who lived in Harlem. He was a writer in the 30s and 40s. It's called Let America Be America Again. And don't forget, this isn't just about the United States of America. America here is a name and metaphor for any free people who want to reclaim their lives, establish the dream of America, which is a sovereign republic where people govern themselves. I remember John Adams, one of the founding fathers, said America is a first in history. It's unique because it's the first time that people have not had rulers over them. They are sovereign people governing themselves with no authority over them save their own conscience and the laws formed by those that conscience. Now, of course, that would qualify John Adams as a domestic terrorist these days, according to the FBI and the RCMP. So it shows you how far the system has fallen. Our job is to pull the system up, recreate it, reclaim the nation, and here in Canada, establish what we tried to do in 1837, and it got defeated, but it's going to rise again and is rising again in the Republic of Canada. So listen to this poem by Langston Hughes, Let America Be America Again. We'll be back next week live. Stay strong, stay clear, brothers and sisters. We'll do it.